They're Playing Our Song, the podcast where your song becomes our song. I'm your host, Robert Perry Cruz, and with me is my very special guest, Jack Every. Hi, Jack. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. So, Jack, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself before we get into your song, which is Fell in Love with a Girl by The White Stripes.
Excellent. Well, you and I met, maybe 13 years ago now. We worked together.
Oh, God, it's a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah. we worked together at a school for children with severe special needs, and we never really worked alongside each other, but, you know, except I think for a couple of times here and there. But we knew each other, and I think we worked on a couple of class projects together. I think that we had a project where we watched the movie Memento, and
that's a deep cut in our lives.
So since then, I left there 2008, and I've worked for the last 8 years at a public school, first as a special education teacher, but now I teach eighth grade math.
Oh, good. I keep thinking about making the switch myself, because special education is challenging for all the reasons you wouldn't think. I think everyone assumes it's all the kids or so. No, it's every other aspect of the job.
It really, yeah. No, it's not the kids. It's always the other stuff that you have to do. And so, the first few years when I was teaching special ed, it was an inclusion class. So it wasn't, you know, I was gradually getting away from, you know, the real severe special needs. And then, yeah, now it's just regular ed, but with some inclusion students.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for telling us a little bit about yourself. So I expect there'll be math. There'll be math in your song. You got some equations for the song, or
the oddly enough, I don't think there is very much math involved here, but definitely some psychology.
Oh, that's good. Okay, I like psychology. That's in my wheelhouse.
Excellent.
So we'll be talking about Fell in Love with a Girl by the White Stripes. That's from their, I think it's a third album, White Blood Cells, from way back in 2001 when rock and roll made a comeback.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. So I was thinking about 2001, and you remember these bands like Nickelback and Limp Bizkit.
Oh, God, yes.
And Creed. And
yes.
I feel like 2001 might have been the worst year in music, but good things were yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because as bad as a lot of, you know, as all the, like, the aggressive, you know, rap, metal, you know, that genre of music, you know, and I think in 2001, you know, there was that beginning of the garage rock sort of thing, where the White Stripes and the Strokes and the Vines and bands like that, you know, they were starting to sort of come out. So, but it was, it's 2001. If there's one year in music I'd take back, it would probably be that one.
Okay. I remember. I mean, I did appreciate the fact that I think, like you said, the garage rock, the kind of alternative, but, you know, the quote unquote rock and roll sound made a comeback. And I remember it was on the cover of all the magazines, like, rock is back, and hey, isn't this going to be great? And then it kind of looked like 2 years, and then it went back to the same old, it was a little sad. Yeah. But that bright, shining moment, we had some White Stripes, which we can look back on fondly.
Yes.
Are you a big White Stripes fan, or just specifically this album? Or
I've liked a lot of the music from White Stripes and from Jack White himself. You know, I think, you know, certainly a lot of the music, I think, just kind of, you know, there's certain, you know, sort of throwback quality to, you know, sort of like 70s type rock, I guess, 60s, 70s. Mm-hmm. So I definitely like that. But yeah, I mean, this song, this is one of those, and the album came out in 2001, but I don't remember hearing the song until maybe the beginning of 2002, because I think it took a while for the single to come out. I was in the car and I was probably driving to class or something, and it was one of those, it was maybe the first time that I had heard a song, a completely brand new song to me, that I just took me by surprise, you know, just like, whoa, what is this? And I had to crank it up. It was like, you know, if I turn up and rock out to a song the very first listen, that's probably a good thing. Cause it was just, cause kind of, you know, like we were saying before, I mean, most of what you were hearing around that time was just this sort of, you know, just kind of new metal and, you know, sort of this, you know, aggressive rock that I think by that point I was kind of phasing out of, and I was trying to, like, all right, enough of this, and
yeah, I know what you mean.
Something different, you know. So I think so. That's kind of my story for the genesis, and plus, you know, I think around the time, you know, I'm sure the video I saw, you know, early on too. And if you've ever seen the video, it's pretty amazing with all the Legos and.
Oh yes, we're definitely. I definitely want to make sure we come back to the video before we're done.
Yes.
I know. I think you're right with this song, because I don't remember this single from that period. I'm pretty sure I remember Seven Nation Army actually before that, but that's a later song too. So I don't know if people were coming back to the song or had some radio play, and then it just got more radio play as they had more and more singles and they were more and more of a name. But yeah, I'm trying to remember when I heard this song.
Yeah. Well, you went to Brown, right?
Yeah.
So you're familiar with WBRU.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember it was on that station. It was the winter of 2002, because they were playing it then, and then yeah, it was the following year that Seven Nation Army came out. That was on their next album.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I remember that, and then they had another single, "Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground." That was like the follow up to to "Fell in Love with a Girl." But yeah, but certainly what you're saying with Seven Nation Army, I think that was kind of like, oh, you know, that song was probably their biggest song, and then, you know, kind of helped to revive some of their previous albums.
So let's get into the song itself. So are you more of a music guy or a lyrics guy? You need a combination?
Probably you. I'm probably more the music guy. I know, from listening to this podcast, I know, you know, you've done many a podcast with your wife. Tell her I say hi, by the way.
Oh, I certainly will. I was like, oh, that's what I'm recording. I was like, put the kids to bed. I need to go talk to Jack. And he's like, oh. I don't know if you're a favorite person, right?
sorry about that. No, but yeah, I know she's more the lyrics person. So I'm actually, I have... You know, I've been looking at the lyrics, and I knew most of them, but even like just now, you know, a couple of the lyrics, you know, even I was like, oh, that's what he says there. The second, we'll go through. But yeah, certainly there's a couple of lyrics in here that I was like, oh, really? That's what they say. Okay.
Yeah, second verse especially. I was looking at them today, and it was like something about a mellow roll. I'm like, I never. That was something they were talking about. I mostly just got the "Fell in Love with a Girl," "Come Kiss Me by the Riverside," and then I never knew they said Bobby said he's fine. I never knew there was a name Bobby. I just said blah blah blah. I didn't even know what they were trying to say there.
Right.
So, much like the music, the lyrics, it's a pretty straightforward song. It's almost funny that it's so well remembered, because there's so much to it, but there's also not a lot to it. It's A, B, A, B. The lyrics kind of repeat. There's a lot of kind of chorus sounds, but it's still, you put it all together and it's really just so catchy and so good a song.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, I guess you got the lyrics up, so why don't we go into that too?
Yeah.
So is this a song you ever really thought about what it was about, or just so much as I'm just singing this loudly because I'm singing this song?
It's pretty straightforward to know what it's about. And, you know, certainly there's a biographical, you know, connection to, I feel like I was in, you know, a relationship very similar to this one at around the time that this song was out. So definitely there's that sort of connection as well. But yeah, I mean, I think it's I don't know if I'm jumping the gun when we get to the part where, you know, why is this everyone's song? But I feel like this is, it's kind of a universal, you know, it's a universal song. I feel like all of us have kind of been in that place in our lives where, you know, maybe we're with the person that's maybe not good forever, but maybe good for the moment, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's you know, you've got the emotions, you've got the feeling, and like, this person, I think maybe I'm in love with them. I don't know. Maybe I'm being stupid. And then you kind of get the sense of like, oh, this person is not in love with me. This person is just, I think that the girl, she seems kind of easy. I don't know. Is that like, maybe she's like dating, like, I'm sure you knew those girls in like high school or college where they'd have a boyfriend and everyone knew they had a boyfriend, but they clearly would go out with anybody.
Right.
And it was just like, oh, that's fine. He doesn't care. He probably did. This Bobby guy probably really cared about this girl and how much he loves everybody. But hey, you know, whatever. If he's going to kiss you by the riverside, you're going to go along with that until it changes. What I can't tell is if the song is supposed to be kind of, if there's a sarcasm to it, or well, maybe not sarcasm is not the right word, but like a tiny bit of nastiness, like this character, this girl they're talking about is kind of supposed to be that, like she's a tease, or whether it's just, hey, this is just who she is, and like it's a positive characterization. What are your thoughts?
I understand what you mean. I mean, I feel like there is kind of a double-edged sort of message going on here, where, you know, maybe there's sort of the face value sort of version, but there's also that, you know, what am I trying to say? Like I'm trying to get you. Like I've caught your plan, you know. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have a feeling too. So, you know, to kind of backtrack a little bit. So the Stripes, Jack White, Meg White, were married for a while. Mm-hmm. And so I believe this came out, this album was released, after they had divorced.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you remember, like, you know, the White Stripes and, you know, Jack and Meg White, are they married? Are they brother and sister? There was that.
Yeah, I remember there was like a controversy about it, or maybe not a controversy, but it was the question.
Right. So I wonder if there's some of that sort of playing into this song too, whether, you know, Jack White, you know, if this is something that, you know, it was on his mind when he wrote the lyrics.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's a good point. I mean, if you're getting over a divorce and you're sort of back out in the world, but you're still seeing the person every day, that's got to get some emotions going. Even if it was, I guess, it must have been amicable enough, because they continued being a band for the next, you know, 10 years or 8 years or so. So it can't have been that bad.
Yeah, right. it's very interesting, too. And, you know, he actually took her last name when they married, which I find interesting. I did some research on, you know, just kind of on, you know, the genesis of the band in general, you know, just to, you know, for preparation for today. So
Thank you. It's always nice when people come so prepared to talk songs. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
So no, that's good. So when you get into now, I'd never read the lyrics, or even I think sung the lyric to the second verse correctly. So the red hair with the curl, something about mellow roll. Mm-hmm. That lyric, I don't kind of get where that stanza comes from. It almost feels related, but not. Mm-hmm. Not central to the plot of the song. I'm very much about, you know, the plot of the song. Is the song telling me a story, whether it's through metaphor, whether it's literal?
Yeah.
That one kind of left me a little. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, did you have a interpretation of it?
Well, these were, I think, the two lines the ones that I you know, kind of, maybe I just kind of like muttered along when I would sing along, but not really know what the words were.
Yeah.
Red hair with the curl, mellow roll for the flavor, and the eyes for peeping. So that particular line, I mean, I guess I get the eyes for peeping line. Like, maybe that's sort of the, like, the exploring other options, or, you know, not being faithful to. But the mellow roll for the flavor, I still have no idea.
Is that like a kind of sushi, or is it like a 2001 slang term that we passed us by? I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't. Yeah, it's. I guess it could be some sort of like weird sexual metaphor, but I don't think so. I don't.
I just had a thought. Maybe it's the way that the female in the song. Maybe it's the way that she kisses.
Oh, okay, like a kiss style.
No role for the flavor, anyway. Maybe it's a kissing style.
Okay, all right.
That. I mean,
I forgot to check Urban Dictionary and see if it was on there with any sort of extra words, but that sounds good to me. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Whether that's it or not, I endorse that interpretation. I'll assume that's what it is from now on, I think. and then, so after that, where my lyrics are.
It goes into the can't keep away from the girl. These two sides of my brain need to have a meeting. And that's kind of where the psychology reference, I suppose, left brain, right brain. And I think that's probably the most genius line of the song, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Where, the two sides of my brain really do need to have this meeting, you know. Do I stick with it and, you know, get my heart trampled on, even though, you know, other things seem to be great? Or do I make a wise decision and, you know, be reasonable and move on with my life? Who knows?
Yeah. The analytical nature of a relationship versus the artistic passion. Not quite how the right brain works, but you know what I mean. The pop culture description of the brain and its workings. I don't think I ever heard that until I was watching the video and listening to the song again today. And you're right. That is a really, it's sort of one of those little like bon mots you get in songs sometimes where you finally hear it and you're like, oh, that's really clever. That says a lot in a tiny, tiny little sound bite. It is good for us psychology folks to have the brain meetings.
Right. Of course.
And then that's really, you know, I mean, I guess the idea of the, you know, feelings are fleeting, and it kind of goes into the thesis of the song, which we talked about, just the idea of, this isn't a permanent relationship. It's just going to be just for the now. And maybe it's not even worth getting into or being involved with this person because they clearly are not interested in me the way that I might be interested in them. And sort of that standard, not exactly trope, but theme you get a lot in songs.
Yeah.
So you're the music, you're a music guy.
Correct.
How do you think this fits with the music, the musicality of the song itself, these lyrics?
Well, it's very, I mean, very simple. It's the song, I mean, it's got to be, what, four chords that just repeat over and over again?
Pretty much, yeah.
And, I mean, the drumming style, it's very, pop, 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 you know, it's not Rush.
No, it is not.
You know, it's definitely not, nothing that progressive, that musically, advanced. But I think that's also by design. You know, I think that the White Stripes were, part of that scene, kind of coming up through, the Detroit music scene at the time. They had released, several singles and, their previous albums on vinyl, back in the late 90s when, CDs were all the rage, Remember CDs?
Oh, my God. It's tragic that that is a statement that one needs to make. It's not that long ago.
I think it just fits in with their style and certainly, a lot can be said about sort of being understated and simple, yet, still being able to put something out there that, is in fact a work of art.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things I love about with the simplicity of the chords is the distortion effects that they put on the guitar. Mm-hmm. There's just something about when you get that kind of crunchy sound, it does make it feel like there are so many more instruments. Like there must be layers and layers of guitar. And I mean, it's, I don't know a lot about the you know, production aspect of guitar, but it, as far as I know, it's just the two of them, just the two of them playing their instruments. And the fact that it has such a big, big, loud and distinctive sound is a real testament to, you know, the techniques they were using in terms of the production they wanted to have. And I mean, that seemed like that was part of their thing, right? They really seemed like they'd planned out their image and planned out everything.
Yeah, I mean, certainly their image, and, you know, and I know that especially Jack White, he was very much into not having the music be polished, you know. He still mm-hmm. wanted it to sound raw, you know, with the imperfections included. So, you know, so a lot of their recording techniques were, you know, for, you know, the early 2000s, which by then, I mean, you did have computers coming into play. I believe Auto-Tune was already a thing. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that was nowhere to be found on that.
Yeah. No, there's no Auto-Tune on that thing. I mean, they put the distortion on the voice. I mean, I think I love a good kind of catchy kind of song. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a Beach Boy sound, but just the extra layers of distortion they throw on it makes it sound weirdly like an organic robot kind of sound. I don't know right. if that's a good description, you know. But like, it sounds like, oh, that's the voice that he's making, but there's clearly no, that's not a human voice, you know. Well, I mean, it's not a human voice sound, right?
Right.
I don't know. It just is very cool. I appreciated that. I kind of miss the lack of production that these albums would have. You know, that rock period. It was just a good. It was like a good time for that sound.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think there are any bands right now that are really. Well, you said you've been a fan of Jack White himself. So when the White Stripes broke up, did you still listen to any of his other projects?
So he, I mean, currently I believe that he has an album out with a band called The Dead Weather, which is okay. he's known for having, you know, several different bands and different projects going on. So, so The Dead Weather, which they've been around. They had an album, I think going back to like 2008. I don't remember all the names to them, but, but more players in the band. So, you know, the White Stripes is just the two of them, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, similar in sound, you know, definitely, you know, with the distortion and everything like that, you know, definitely that sort of raw sound. His solo stuff, his recent album that came out maybe about a year or two ago, has more of kind of a bluesy, sort of southern kind of thing going on. I know he's very much into recording in, I think in Nashville he likes to record. So, so that influence definitely kind of, you hear it in a lot of his solo stuff as well.
Okay.
So
he's still kind of got that sound, that stripped down sound going to some extent, some of the bands.
Yeah.
I know you said when the first time you heard this, it's when you cranked this song, right? You said
it was one of those, you know, it came on and I looked at the radio. I'm like, really? Like, what is, and it wasn't, they didn't announce who it was. It was, I think they just went from one song right into the next. And so I had no idea what this was. But I'm just like, this is great. So I made sure to, you know, I turned it up. I'm like, you know, hopefully they announce it. And I think they did. They announced it at the end of the song. But that's the other thing too. The song is like a minute 49.
It's not long, yeah.
Not that long. So when it ended, I'm like, "That's it."
Yeah.
Isn't there more? But yeah. So like, all right, the White Stripes, and it was an easy name to remember anyway. So you know, so when I did go and buy the CD, you know, it was, you know, easy to remember. But yeah, it was, just, you know, like I said, it was probably the first time, at least, you know, in my memory, you know, where that happened, where the very first time I heard the song, I'm like, wow, you know, this is something. And, you know,
yeah, it's really propulsive, you know, just from those first chords. It just starts right off with the repetitive riff, and then the drums coming in. But yeah, like you said, not doing a lot of different things, but I guess if you hit the tones and you have the tempo, that's all you need. You know, people will go. I mean, if the song were 10 minutes long, I suppose you'd get bored. But,
right.
You know, you got 2 minutes a song, and that's all you need is that those couple good chords and a couple good propulsive drum beat behind it.
Yeah.
So Jack, you watched I'm assuming you watched the video again today, the music video.
I did, yes.
Okay, and I remember this song being very known for its music video.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it? You said you saw it kind of back when it was on on TV.
So I know I heard the song on the radio first, and probably heard it a couple of times on the radio. But then, back when MTV showed videos, it was one of those videos that I think they only showed in the middle of the night. I don't think they showed it during, or at least to start.
Yeah.
I remember being up maybe at like 2 a.m. Because back, when I was in college, I know I watched a lot of the late night talk shows. I'd watch Letterman and Conan and all that. So I think it was after watching those, I flipped over onto MTV for a little while, and I just happened to be on. I'm like, oh, this is that same song that I've been hearing. So, but with the Legos and the video, all Legos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, no animation. It was just all with Legos. And I guess they bought all the Legos. They, the Lego company wasn't going to, give them a break on it. So
no Lego disc. They didn't get the Lego VIP membership at the local mall store. They had to just pay out of pocket. My God.
Yeah, no discount. But they did, I believe, win 3 awards, video music awards.
Oh, I remember those.
So,
yeah.
For the video. So at least they got that.
Yeah. I remember it being Michelle Gondry was the director. And I know... Mm-hmm. He had a couple other music videos back then. I remember that was the period of, the director Spike Jonze?
Yeah, yeah.
He did. So he and Michael Gondry, I think there was one other person who were like sort of the auteur music directors. Like they were the person to have. They make a cool video for you. And I think they all went on to make films that people really liked.
Mark Mothersborough. Mark Mothersborough. He was, he did the Black Hole Sun video.
Oh yeah, that's another distinct
and
one.
And I think he also did Jeremy. He did like some. This is a little earlier, but I guess I don't know if he was the one that you were thinking about.
Yeah, that could have been. It was just a lot of. I mean, there was that kind of the renaissance of videos where videos became well, even David Fincher, who I mean he's a named director nowadays. He started with I think Janie's Got a Gun way back when with Aerosmith.
Yeah.
So there was this period of the auteur music video directors, and everything was not exactly a gimmicky video, but everyone had a vision and they had something cool they wanted to do with the song. Now, this it was really all Legos, right?
Yeah.
I've heard people tell me it was all computer generated, and I didn't think that was a technology that you really had back in 2001. It's like the Lego movie. I mean, they had to build the Legos to stop pushing, right?
Not for everything that I was able to read, it was all actual Legos and, stop motion Legos, I guess.
Even I feel like I read somewhere that even some of the close-up shots, because they have some really fluid shots of of Meg turning her head and Jack moving his face. And I think I read somewhere that they actually had to, they had to film them or they had to, they actually had to film the stuff. It wasn't like Legos out of nothing. Like they had a vision or a picture, and they knew what they wanted it to look like, and they did something to take those pictures and turn them into, well, what would it look like if it were Legos? And then they'd sort of try to model it that way.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that was an easy video to shoot. It must have taken a long time.
Well, and maybe that's why too, because I believe the single wasn't released until early 2002, but the album was released in June of 2001. So perhaps that delay, that gap in time, to create that music video, and who knows? And the other thing too, I think that album bounced around to a couple different record labels too before eventually was I want to say it was Third Man Records was the one that eventually gave it its wide release. But yeah, I mean they could have spent 6 months with their Lego sets trying to make a video. This better work.
Yeah. I can't. Stop motion is. I love the look of the stop motion, but oh man, the idea of filming something in stop motion. Okay, let's move. Put this Lego here now, and put this Lego here, and take a picture. Oh my God, that.
Yeah.
Ugh, too overwhelming. I'm not ready for music video art that way myself. I'll just enjoy it from afar.
Right. You do the podcast for them and. Yeah.
Yes. I'll send this one out to Jack White right when it's done. I'm sure. So, I mean, I think Jack, you talked about kind of why this is your song. I mean, just in terms of, I don't know, almost a transcendental experience of just hearing something so awesome that you had to crank it up and just find out about it and listen to it. And I mean, this is definitely a song, as simple as it is, it doesn't get old. I mean, I must have listened to it 5 times in a row today, and I've heard it 1,000 times before, and it was still just right back in my head, right back in the ears. Really enjoyed singing it. You know, that the chorus, I'm just kind of just going around doing that all day long. Is there any other reason that you find it to be your song? Is that kind of sum it up?
I mean, I think it definitely maybe represents a certain part, certain phase of my life. I mean, definitely was right smack dab in the middle of college, I guess. So maybe for me, it's, you know, kind of reminiscent of being back in college and you know, and kind of going through sort of the same sort of scenario that is played out in the song, just kind of, you know, during that time period, you know, just, you know, I think that's the big thing, the main, you know, the main draw to the song. And, you know, and it's a great, you know, even the album itself, it's a good one, you know, when tracks, you know, nowadays it's all on MP3 and, you know, whatever, yeah, you know, whatever comes up on shuffle next, you know, but whenever one of those songs does come up, it's very, you know, it's nostalgic, I guess. It's like our version of classic rock, I suppose.
Oh yeah. I guess this will probably be on the classic rock stations. Oh, remember the White Stripes. Oh, your dad and your mom listened to this album, kids. Oh, God, this is depressing. I feel like this podcast is maybe depressed as time goes on. It's like, remember that song from like 10 years ago? It's a golden oldie now.
Right.
Oh, this is tragic. well, so that's why it's your song. And you hinted at it a little bit, but why should it be our song? The worldwide our song.
Well, I think it should be our song. I think the message is universal. I think all of us, you know, whether man, woman, and any type of relationship have been sort of in this relationship at least once in their lives. And so, you know, so I think it's, you know, definitely has a message that resonates. And I think it also has that message of, you know, I think any of us like to have, you know, like that song that just is that less than 2 minutes powerful, you know, rock out kind of song. And, you know, it's a good air guitar kind of, you know, kind of song, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, everyone at home, I hope you now find Fell in Love with a Girl by the White Stripes to be our song.
I should mention, and I don't know if you were going to ask or bring this up, but there was a very well-known cover version of the song.
No, I didn't know that.
So about a year and a half, no, Joss Stone, 2003, she's a British soul R&B singer, had a version, Fell in Love with a Boy.
Oh.
So, you know, obviously changed the pronouns around and all that, but much more down-tempo, kind of a bluesier version. So also I think is really good. But, you know, we'll just, you know, we'll put a little shout out to her too, just, you know, as part of this Fell in Love with the Girl universe, I suppose.
There's something, just hearing Fell in Love with a Boy, I think it's something about how the word boy kind of ends. Like, girl just feels like it fills the music, whereas boy, maybe if it was a different, like you said, a different tempo, I guess I could see it sort of fitting in. But I don't know, boy, just it doesn't have the same impact. But it doesn't seem to go quite as well.
Right.
I'd have to listen to the versions. I'll keep my ears out for that
okay.
one. But I appreciate the tips. It's nice to have a cover that's not exactly the same as the original song, does something a little new.
Yeah, it follows like, you know, that same kind of actually another fast fact, the sort of the harmonies, the I can't sing, but you know what I mean.
I get you.
Apparently is the same melody, I suppose, to the guitar part of Mary Jane's Last Dance.
Oh, and, really? Yes. Okay. Now I'm trying to play it in my head, which is hard to do and talk. I'll have to listen to it later.
So
I just heard that song the other day too. I was singing along with it. So I know it's on my phone somewhere. I'll shuffle into it eventually.
I'm sure.
I'll try to keep it together. Well, Jack, thanks so very much for volunteering to come on. You were one of the earliest people to post or to comment and ask questions about the show. So thank you so much. I'm glad I was able to get you on to share White Stripes and share your song.
Oh, you're welcome, and I'm glad that glad we had this experience. We had this chat, and you know, it's great seeing you after how many years, you know, and being able to.
It's been a while, yeah. Outside of Facebook, I see you on Facebook, so it's kind of, I guess it's kind of the same thing as seeing people nowadays.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I saw a post on Facebook. I know about your family. I saw you post. Everyone's a stalker these days. It's great. you're teaching? Any big exams coming up people should prepare for or anything like that?
Not
the internet should know about.
My students know. They just had a quiz yesterday, so
yeah. All right, so that's good.
Yeah,
what units are you guys doing
in
eighth grade?
In the middle of Pythagorean theorem and right triangles, so
good
grade
stuff.
So yeah.
Well, for everyone at home, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes. You can leave a review, or you can go to the site and leave comments on the site at playingoursong.net. You can email me at rob@playingoursong.net. You can follow me on Twitter at @playing_oursong. You can check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/playingoursong.net. And I think that's all the social media stuff I have to rattle off. So check out the website for previews for the weeks coming up. We'll definitely have the video posted. If you haven't seen it already, please go look at it. Direct link on the site. Go to YouTube too. It's excellent.
It's amazing.
You have to see it. Yeah. Well, again, Jack, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This has been great.
Of course. And anytime you have another, I think you had another song, when we were messaging, you had another song too. You want to get to at some point. So,
yeah.
All the guests, when they say they'll do two songs or three songs, I write it down on my list of productions so you cannot escape. It's in writing now, so you'll have to do it again. I'm sorry. It's just how it goes. It's how I'll get to 50 episodes or whatever my goal is. Well, for everybody else at home, please tune in next week for another episode. But until then, remember, it's your song, so play it long and play it loud. Bye!
It bears repeating now.